Well, good morning. We're going to take this time to look at the responsibilities of the reader. This is one of the first responsibilities usually extended to newly baptized brothers. And while seemingly simple, there are some important aspects that we need to be reminded of to make this service the most profitable. The reader should begin by announcing the book and the chapters. This seems like a simple thing, but it is important for the people who would be following along with the reading. It is quite distracting for a listener when they think they have the reading turned up, but when the reader starts reading, they find that they're in the wrong place. Then, while they're figuring out where the proper reading really is, they miss the beginning of the reading. By announcing the book and chapter, everyone can be sure to have their Bibles open to the proper place. Also, by reading the book and chapter before beginning, the reader gives everyone a little more time to have their Bibles open and ready. If people are not ready, they won't be able to pay attention. So it would make sense to be sure to give everyone enough time to get set to follow along. This is more of a common courtesy thing than something specified in the Constitution. This is something the presiders also need to keep in mind as they perform the first reading during the memorial service. It's easy for a presider to walk up to the podium, announce the first reading, and start reading before everyone else has had a chance to get their Bibles open to the reading. When everyone is ready, then they will be able to listen and appreciate that which is being read. The reader should feel the responsibility of reading with understanding. The reading should be done in a clear and practiced manner. Let's look at Scripture for an example of a reader and how he read in Ezra chapter 7. In verse 6, we read, "This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests, according to the hand of the Lord his God, upon him." Ezra was called a ready scribe. Now this word ready is only used four times in Scripture, twice as ready. The other times it is translated diligent and hasting. Strong's defines it as quick, prompt, skilled, ready. The word scribe, well, we all know what that is, right? Well, I thought so too until I looked at it. As you would expect, the Hebrew word is translated scribe 50 times. But it's also translated tell 40 times. To tell. In fact, it is translated declare, show forth, speak, commune, told out, reckon, showing, and talk. Along with the 40 tells, totals 76 times where it is used as some kind of speaker, a speaker whose purpose was to explain something. So not only was he able to read and to write well, he was also a skilled teacher of the law. This skill would have him well equipped to be able to read the law to the people and to make them understand. This should also remind us that we need to be ready, diligent, and skilled in our reading. Let us look now at Nehemiah chapter 8. The Jews, after a 70-year captivity, have returned to Jerusalem. And what did they do? They held a Bible school. Let's start at Nehemiah chapter 8, at verse 1. "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man unto the street that was before the water gate. And they spoke to Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood up upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for that purpose. And dropping down to verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads, and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They opened their classes with prayer. And now down to verse 8. So they read the book in the law of God distinctly. They gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. The point here is that they read the law of God distinctly. They gave the sense. The people heard them speaking. They knew what they were talking about. They may have not known the hows and the whys just from the reading, because it would seem that after the reading they would expound upon what was read. And that is how a reader should approach their duty, with the intent of giving the sense, being distinct, so that listeners, even if they cannot follow along, will understand the words you are speaking. How did the people benefit from having the word read in such a manner? Well, we're told right here, a little further down the page, verse 13. In the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests, the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law of the Lord, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the 7 months, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, Go forth unto the mount, and fetch olive branches, and pine branches, and myrtle branches, and palm branches, and branches of thick trees, to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth, and brought them, and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the streets of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths, and sat under the booths. For since the days of Jeshua the son of Nun, unto that day, had not the children of Israel done so. And there is very great gladness. Also, day by day, from the first day until the last, he read the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days. And on the 8th day was a solemn assembly, according to the manner. The people were ready and willing to get to work, to work the things they had learned about. They learned how they should keep the Feast of Booths, so they did it. So back to our Constitution. The reader must be dressed in a suit and tie. Other than the reader, the presider is required to be dressed in a suit and tie, while the exhorter is required to be dressed in accordance with all serving brethren, which would thereby be a suit and tie. This is the formal dress of our era. This requirement is pretty much standard through most of the brotherhood, with exceptions coming from areas where temperature is much higher and where air conditioning is rare. This formality is done to avoid the casual nature that comes from casual dress. Wearing formal business attire allows us to show to others the attitude we show toward the truth. While we know we should not show partiality based on someone's dress, we cannot use this as an excuse to avoid wearing a scratchy shirt and stuffy tie. Appearances matter. The reading brother is also responsible for passing of the free will offering bag and the serving of the emblems. Just as the presider is not to draw attention to himself, nor detract from the proper feeling of the service by his dress or actions, so must the reader when passing the bag or serving the emblems. To do so, one should be aware of where each baptized member is sitting. He should also know whether or not to serve any visitors with respect to baptism, or if the AVs have decided to, as quoted from our Constitution, deny participation in the breaking of bread service to visiting brethren and sisters in case of doctrinal error or in cases where another ecclesia fellowships with a brother or sister contrary to the rules of the Granite State Ecclesia. If there's any doubt in these cases, the reader should consult the recorder for clarification. The reader should have a route planned so that he can perform his duties in a quick and efficient manner. You don't want to attract attention to yourself by running around the room trying to serve everyone. It has been suggested by some that the collection should follow close on the breaking of bread, thus giving of our free will offering be sanctified as part of our service. While we do not put the collection in such an order, we should have that state of mind when doing so. This is also the reason we do not request financial donations from unbelieving visitors. That is not the spirit of our organization. The ecclesial guide suggests that the presider, before passing the bag around, and invite the brethren in a dignified and loving way to unite their free will offering for the service of the truth. This imparts grace and profit to an important act of service. And as always, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God.